Good afternoon, everybody. So I'm going to show here, present today some results from an experiment that you carry out in a feedlot in Kansas. My student, Prajaya, he's going to present a poster tomorrow in the afternoon with additional results from this study. Okay, so everybody knows here methane is a powerful greenhouse gas, and the concentration has been increasing in the atmosphere. So you see here that this graph showing the anthropogenic emissions sources, and you see the enteric fermentation and manure management, the important sources of methane in the U.S. So there is a need for like techniques and reliable measurements to actually account and come up with inventories. And so one of the ways to measure is using micrometeorological methods. So we see here that there is the eddy covariance technique has been used around the world in different flux networks to measure CO2 and water vapor fluxes. This technique became so popular because you have it's a direct measurement of the flux, so don't rely on empirical constants, and it's relatively simple. So with recent advances in optical sensors, the technique can also be used to measure other gases. So you see here, there is some work now on measuring methane, N2O, and ammonia. So back then, I guess 10 years ago, that was impossible because our sensors were not fast enough to measure the concentration of these gases. So to accurately measure fluxes using the eddy covariance technique, you have to rely on some assumptions. Here are some basic assumptions. So measurement has to be done inside the boundary layer of interest. So usually you have to do this measurement in large areas to meet this requirement. Instruments can detect, have to detect very small changes in concentration at high frequencies. And another assumption is that the underlying surface over which the flux that are measured has to be uniform. And then this is one of the issues that probably this assumption is probably not met in the feedlot when you have animals walking around, so basically moving sources. So so then we decide to test the technique to see if it's, the eddy covariance would be able to measure these fluxes in feedlots. So the main objectives of this study was to evaluate the performance of a closed path eddy covariance system in a beef cattle feedlot, and to investigate the spatial variability of the eddy covariance fluxes measured above the surface of a beef cattle feedlot using analytical flux footprint analysis. So the methodology here, so this is our feedlot. I mean, we don't have as many toys as Dr. Chains, but we have a bigger feedlot. So this is the feedlot here. So we have 1,200 meters, and then it's nice if you have a continuous block of pens. So the total area of this feedlot is about 59 hectares, and then the full capacity, I think, is 60,000. I didn't put that, 60,000 animals. So during the experiment, was about 58,000 animals in the feedlot. So it's flat, which is good for micrometeorological measurements. And then the experiment was carried out from August 2013 to May 2014, so around 8 months. Okay, so here's our flux tower. So we set up the flyover flatbed trailer, so you can move around if you need to. You have here in this tower, we have a closed path analyzer. It's a G2311F from Picaro. So we measure with this analyzer methane, CO2, and water vapor concentration at 10 hertz. And then you also add an open path analyzer, like a 7500, because you wanted to know if this closed path system was actually good enough for these eddy covariance measurements. And without this instrumentation, here you have a sonic anemometer to measure the octagonal components of wind velocity. With the eddy covariance, you just need to calculate, to estimate these high frequency fluctuations of wind velocity, vertical wind velocity and concentration. So then, after you got the data, you analyze just following the standard procedures of data analysis for the eddy covariance technique. And then you basically have the raw data. The raw data will go through some quality control. And then you use the software here, EddyPro version 6.0, to follow the steps to, at the end, come up with fluxes. So here, one of the issues with the closed path synthesis system is spectral losses. So basically, the gas going through the tubing would affect the way that those fluctuations that actually happen in the atmosphere. So here's a comparison. Here I have the fluctuation here, the temperature and wind speed in the sonic anemometer would be the reference. And then I have here the fluctuations from water vapor and CO2 for a closed path system. And then you see here some attenuation for CO2 and methane, and larger attenuations for water vapor for the closed path system, which is expected because water vapor is a stickier gas, right? So it sticks to the walls of the tubing, and then we have some issues. We try to minimize this by heating up the tube, but that's what you got. So here the comparisons between the CO2 fluxes estimated using the open path and the closed path analyzers. You see here that the correlation is pretty good. The R squared is 0.98. And you have here some overestimate of the fluxes by the closed path system. If you consider just the daytime data, the performance is a little bit better, so you have just 1% overestimate of the flux, and the R-square is about 99%. So what I'm thinking here is that maybe this spectral correction methods, they don't work so well when the atmosphere is stable during the nighttime, so that might be one of the reasons. Okay, so here the graph with the time series of methane fluxes. So when I look at this graph for the first time, it looks like the shirt of a high-profile official in the military with all this, and it's hard to interpret. So we have a high variability. Here's some trends. In the summer, we have higher fluxes. In the winter, it's a lower fluxes here. And then you have some gaps here that due to instrument problems. You try to explain this variation. So first thing here would be wind direction. So as you remember, I don't know if you remember, but the flux tower was set up in the north side of feedlot. So if the wind is coming from the north, I mean, you would pick up the concentration or the fluxes from the feedlot. But then you see here a large peak here in the south direction. So it's basically when the plume is actually originated from the feedlot. So we decide to also do a footprint analysis to see how the area of influence of the tower changed over time. So here you separate daytime and nighttime. So we see the daytime, the area or the area of influence of the tower is much closer to the area of influence for this flux is much closer to the tower. And the nighttime, sometimes you can see that the footprint of the tower actually extend beyond the limit of the feedlot. So now you plot the fluxes, and then so here's this graph with when you use the flux values, the methane flux values, and the footprint analysis. So now you can see actually some patterns. As you expect, when this area of influence goes beyond the boundary of the feedlot, you get lower values of fluxes. But then you get here higher values here in this region of the feedlot. And then as the fluxes, as the area of influence stretches beyond that area there, you get the lower values. So one of the explanations for this is probably as this area of influence, this footprint of the tau stretches over a large area, you have some dilution effect. So you're interested in actually the surface of the pans, but as this footprint stretches over large areas, you are actually picking up some fluxes from roads and alleys and non-emitting surfaces, which you could reduce the values of the pans. Another factor that would affect your fluxes is actually the fact that the animals are moving around the pen. So these two pictures are taken 2 minutes apart, and then you can see that the animals are like in different areas, which is not being one of the assumptions of the method. So there's a conclusion here for this study that carbon dioxide fluxes measured by the closed path eddy covariance system showed very good correlation with CO2 fluxes measured using the open path system. The closed path analyzer overestimated the flux, especially when the whole period is included. But if you only use daytime period, it overestimates about 1%. So pretty good performance. And then the methane fluxes showed high spatial variability, which can be explained in part by changes in the area sampled by the flux tower. So future work, we're gonna work on. Other footprint analysis and try to actually express this flux by a pen unit, and who knows, maybe animal per animal. So that I would like just to acknowledge here our collaborators in the feedlot industry for the assistance with this research project, Kansas State University for funding this project, and Kyle Stropes and Fred Caldwell for their assistance with the experiments. Okay, thank you. That's one of the reasons why you used a closed path system, but you had issues with dust with the open path analyzer. So some of the data you had to exclude because the signal was so weak that you couldn't measure.
I was kind of surprised that you had some higher methane fluxes in September and late summer and early fall. And lower in the winter, because since those are primarily enteric methane source, I would expect maybe that those that wouldn't be that big a difference unless the diets had changed.
We are looking to the diet as well, but I think one of the reasons that this footprint area during the winter, when you don't have much convection, would stretch a longer distance.
Thank you.